This is the very famous and very important Maharal. Not that there's any Maharal that's not important, but they're not all as well known. It's very, very big Yesaidus here. Every single word that we're talking about. And the others from the Maharal, there are more like, there are more exciting Chidushim, but in terms of the Yesaidus, the fundamental principles of Yiddishkeit, there's nothing like Tiferes Yisrael. What we're talking about here is the fact that Adam is called Adam, the human being comes min ha-Adama, from the earth. The essential purpose of the earth is to take something that has potential, that's bekalach, and to bring it out that it should be bepoil, to activate, to draw out the potential. And in the life of a Jew, that can only take place with Torah mitzvahs. We spoke about b'nei noach, non-Jews, and with a non-Jew we saw that the Shavuot mitzvahs, since the non-Jew's life is based upon teva of this world, which is in 7 days, the seven mitzvahs, and we spoke about that. But the ability of a Jew to be might see all of his kaychas el hapoel, that he should be who he could be, and the highest state that a Jew is capable of is that of dveikus with Hashem, which we're going to talk about, attachment, cleaving to Hashem. That can only take place through him being rooted and planted in the 613 mitzvahs. We're going to, Mitzvah Hashem, move through and finish the parak, and then we're going to learn a maimer and chassidus from the Reb Rashab, from the Reb Shalom Dovber from Lubavitch, to understand more in the pnimis and yonim where this concept would eventually end up, and to understand on a deeper level what we're talking about. We're on Kuf Chav Beis, where the Maharal was telling us that not only does a Jew have the opportunity, the ability to be mighty his kaychas al apayel through living life of Torah mitzvahs, but if he doesn't, then he's in danger of chalila, then he's in danger of kilkul, of self-destruction. And the reason for that is that we were talking about this a little bit last week, and I mentioned also the teachings of the Piazetzna in his svarim, that when a person has kaychas, when a person has a certain potential, and there's energy there, there's something there, and there are no kalim in kedusha, there are no vessels, utensils in holiness to contain that energy, it has to go somewhere. I think that's one of the laws of this world, is that and it's also of the next world, that it's not going to disappear. So the question is, what happens to that energy? And Torah mitzvahs are the kalim. When that energy is channeled through those kalim, the person reaches a state of dveikus. So similarly, the Maharal says in the Moshul that if the tree is not able to be mitzi the peiris, if the fruit are not able to be brought forth, so then it's a kilkel to the tree. Let's just read the sentence on top again. Kach hu dover zeh, the top of Kuchav Beis. Im lo haya mitzi peulas hamitzvus el apayel, that if the person would not have the ability through mitzvahs to have his potential drawn out of him, hayanisha b'koach mutba b'chomer, and this is the tragedy of any Jew who's not living life of Torah mitzvahs. He has this immense supernatural energy, but it's mutba b'chomer, it remains stuck in the confines of physical life. Therefore, Jews have been very successful, enthusiastic, successful, ambitious people. And the nations of the world hate us for that, among other things. And they're right. A Jewish person, b'teva, by nature, is restless. A Jewish person has, by nature, unbelievable kaychas. The shaila is what to do with those kaychas. But they're there. And if a person is not through Torah mitzvahs, might see the kaychas al apoyal, so then what happens is, then it remains mutba b'chaymer. It's stuck. It's trapped in physical life. And this causes a terrible kilkul. It's a perversion of, in other words, as we spoke about this, and we're going to talk more about it in the footnote in a second, that the more complicated the machine, the more complicated, the more complex the machine, the more horrific is the kilkul. The more terrible is terrible is the problem with that machine. And since a Jew is an extremely complex and refined being, therefore, if those kaychas are not drawn out through Torah mitzvahs, which provide the kalim for those kaychas, then the kilkul is going to be infinitely greater than any kilkul that could be caused by a non-Jew. And this is, unfortunately, this is something which we've seen in history. And the biggest tumas, whether it's the tumah of Christianity or even the tumah of Islam, which has not, which, although the Meshugga was not, Muhammad was not, of course, a Jew, but the Hashpa that was purely Jewish upon him. And similarly, in modern times, different types of either economic historical determinism, Karl Marx was a Yid, psychological emotional determinism, Sigmund Freud was a Yid. In other words, the biggest kilkulim and the biggest tumas pretty much down the line, there are people that could make problems, but the kilkulim in the universe are the result of Jews who are not rising to the occasion of taking the koiches and drawing them into the kelim of Torah mitzvahs. So he says, "V'dov zeh kilkul of kasher nafsho milamala v'humut bo baguf." This is a terrible situation when you have a soul that is the most exalted soul, comes from the highest place, and it's v'humut bo baguf, and it's stuck mamish in a guf. It's stuck in a physical body with no recourse, like nothing to do, except go meshugah. And there are different ways to go meshugah. So nowadays the kids have a lot more things to go meshugah with. In the old days, you know, there was less room to maneuver. But this is the problem. This is the condition of a Jew where there's a neshama that's stuck in a body, which to begin with is an uncomfortable relationship. It's an uncomfortable relationship that the human being has within him, el yoinim and sachtonim, the highest things are cooking inside, and the lowest, most repulsive things are cooking inside of him. Bechlal, it's a very uncomfortable relationship. But at least when a person is living a life of Torah mitzvahs, so he's an Adam. Min ha'adama, there's going to be the ability to channel those karechis into Kedusha. But this person is stuck. That's what it means. Im kain, ha'nefesh hu nisha b'karech. And the nefesh remains perpetually in a state of it could be, it should be, and it would be, which causes terrible, terrible anguish, emotional illness, tsar that's immeasurable, which Jews more than any other people have experienced, aside from the difficulties of physically of the Jewish people in Galus, the inner anguish of Jews searching for themselves, the inner anguish is infinitely greater than anything else that we've experienced. In footnote 56, the davka mipasach shivas hanefesh, and this is the problem, he explains, that it's because of the chshivas of the nefesh. It's because of the of how important and how refined the soul is. Yesh kan chisaron lenefesh l'kshelot teitzel l'pol. So is the chisaron because of its immense potential. When that potential is not realized, that's how much greater, in proportion to the greatness of the soul, is the kilkul, is the horrible emptiness when it's not fulfilled. If the soul is not so important, so he could manage, you know, with an occasional beer and a, you know, Super Bowl, he can get by, you know. And someone says, I love you every now and then, you can manage. But when you have a Jew with the nefesh is kol kach shuva, azay lahaya kan chisaron me'ein zeh. So the chisaron is, the way to understand how could it be, as we spoke about 2 weeks ago, how could it be that Dafke Megaroma Labir Amikta, that the Jewish people have fallen from the highest heights to the lowest depths, that our enemies have pointed their fingers to us and have stood in shock and in wonder. How could it be that from Maimon Har Sinai did we go to Chet HaEgel, right? From receiving the Torah to go to Chet HaEgel. How could it be? The whole paradox of Jewish existence is a wonder to the entire world. But the emesis, the Maral saying, is that because of the greatness of the soul, when that soul is stuck in Chaimer, then that person can become extremely, extremely destructive and can be lost. The Maral explains also in the Gerarye, Shechisroinim Shal Yisrael Meviim Lidei Shibud, that when the Jewish people are in a state of Chisaron, like you see this with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that when the Jewish people are doing well, then it's Ad L'Shamayim, then they reach the highest heights. But if not, like the Ma'aseh in the Gemara there, but if not, then even the lowest Ummah, even the lowest nation, which is Yishmael, and not only that, the Behemah of the lowest nation has control over us. This is not the case with the ummas, with the nations of the world. In other words, they don't have to live those extremes. They could live somewhere in between. That a chisaron by something that's so imperfect to begin with, and it's so unrefined and uncomplicated, the fact that there's a chisaron, it doesn't necessarily have a huge impact upon the life of that nation. This is really an amazing thing, but we don't have time to talk about it too much, but just look how interesting this is. In Gvuras Hashem, Seif Parakei, Bia, he explains, Shamitzriim Heim Chaimriim. In this world, the Egyptian people, the original Egyptian people, the Mitzriim, are the embodiment of Chaimer. They're the most physical. They were very base, coarse, and physical people, which didn't prevent them from producing a remarkable civilization, you see. So it doesn't necessarily mean the fact that they were in some way intellectually advanced or technologically advanced for those days, as far as a civilization is concerned, does not take away the reality of them being shtufei zima, the lowest of the low, in terms of being completely, completely possessed by physical things. That's why aesthetics and beauty, you know, even if you ever pass through that section in the museum, they were mamish obsessed with aesthetics and with beauty. They were obsessed with physical beauty in such a way that they were the embodiment of Chaimer. Acha Knanim, however, in Eretz Yisrael, the Knanim, even though the Knanim, so it's, what's interesting here is that the Knanim are not as chumri as dik as the Egyptians. In other words, they're not as completely physical as the Egyptians yet. Acha Knanim heim tzura hamud bas b'chaimer. In other words, the Knanim were spiritually, there was more there. They're more refined. And yet, what? Davka that. The fact that there was something there by the Knanim. But what? That something that was there was stuck in Chaimer. See, the Egyptians, it's pure Chaimer. It was purely physical. Just they could talk and breathe and eat and think, whatever, but really the whole Teva is purely physical. Unless they needed Mitzrayim and Mitzarim, it was very constrained and very closed. Right? Like Chazal say that no slave was ever able to escape Mitzrayim. Until we left Mitzrayim, it was impossible for a slave to escape, which means the confinement of physical life, but completely physical. So you would say, that's got to be the worst Tzara for Klal Yisrael is Egypt. That's not true. The Knanim, on the other hand, were more refined. There was something going on inside the Knanim. But Tzurmud Bas B'chaymer, there we have some sort of a clash between the physical and spiritual. L'kach ha-Knanim ruchokim yoysim Yisrael me'asher ha-Mitzriyim. You hear this? Therefore, the Knanim are a greater danger to us. Really, the Knanim are a greater danger to us. And more so than the Egyptians, they're further removed from Klal Yisrael. Now you would say, how could that be? If the Egyptians are purely physical, and Klal Yisrael is the most exalted, the spiritual people. So you would say that this is the biggest merchak, the greatest distance should be between Yisrael and Mitzrayim. Purely, so to speak, as spiritual as you can get, and as physical as you can get. So that you would think that would be on the scale, that would be the greatest merchak, that would be the greatest distance that's possible. Nevertheless, what does it say? Ki aknanim ha'arurim. Orur knanim. The knanim are cursed. We don't see such a lashon by Mitzrayim. We had difficulties with Mitzrayim. There's no question about it. But the knanim ha'arurim are cursed. Doimim el hatzura hamud bas b'chaymer. Why? Because here we have not something that's purely physical. Okay, so let's say it's the guy that couldn't pass a test. It's the guy that never read a book in his life. It's the guy that, and I'm not putting down anybody like that because there's no din that a guy has to be an intellectual. I'm saying just to give a muscle. But it's the guy that never ever really had much going on inside. So he lives his life in a simple, plain way. He goes to work and he hopefully is a good husband, a good provider, a good father. And so it's not very complicated. doesn't reach great heights and doesn't necessarily sink to the lowest depths. However, what happens when you have somebody that's more complicated? A Knani is more complicated. An Egyptian is uncomplicated. A Knani, however, has a certain degree of spirituality in his being, in his essence. Therefore, we're dealing with a terrible situation of tsur, which is mudbas b'chaymer, which means spirituality that's stuck in a physical encasement. V'zosa tsur, which doesn't reach its potential. V'zosa tsur habchus ha'arur, it's low and cursed. And it cannot connect or relate to the Jewish people who are spirituality unbound, released spirituality, pure spirituality. In other words, the distance between a Jew who's the Tzura HaKadosh, a Jew who is Kedusha in its refined and pure state, and the Egyptian, that distance is not as great as the distance between a Yisrael and a Kanani. Even though you would say, how could that be? It's minakotze lakotze. The answer is that when something is not maitzi, it's kaychas alapal, when something is not living up to its potential, it sinks lower than the simple uncomplicated, person or nation. That's what the Maral is saying. Ubederachayim, kosav levar, many things in life can be understood by that. Ubederachayim perigdal, the biggest kilkulim by the Germans, yamach shemam, the biggest kilkulim were by the intellectuals, Dafke. What do you think? Hitler himself would have been incapable of carrying out the Churban that he did if not for the fact that the greatest minds, the greatest intellects in Germany participated in the Churban. The Kilkulim Davka there could be the most frightening Kilkulim. When there's a koach of intellect or there's a koach of emotional energy that does not have the Tzur HaKadosha, does not have a container that is holy, so then it causes terrible destruction in the world. Alright, I don't want to go into this. This is going into the three, the Lashonis of Ish, Enosh, and Adam. It's very interesting, but it's really going away from what we need to focus on. Back on top. It's good if you have a chance to look at it afterwards. Just in terms of understanding the Lashon HaKodesh, the Hebrew, those three terms, Ish, Adam, and Enosh, which has to do with the one who has the highest potential, that Tikvais Enosh, Rima, means that the ultimate hope of a human being is that he's going to be eaten by the worms inside the grave. So Davka, the highest lashon is Enosh. That's the greatest praise of a human being is Enosh. Davka there is described in such a way of being consumed by the worms. So that's what the Maral talks about, the different lashonis of Adam, but we don't need to go into it right now. Okay, on top of the 56. Therefore, it's not a matter of choice. A Jew has to find a way to express that tzura, that nefesh, that soul, in order that the soul will be able to rise above the limitations of physical life. Because the light and the energy of the neshama cannot be contained in a physical body in a healthy, normal way. The person will either become sick or will cause others to become sick. But it cannot just settle in and be happy and comfortable. As it says in Pasuk, v'hanefesh leisim alei, that the Shlomo Melech said that the soul is not filled. Is not filled. Meaning that the Jewish people are taka driven. They're either driven towards holiness or they're driven in the other direction, because the basic point is that there is that drive of the soul and the need to find some sort of an expression for that spirituality. And if it's not going to be expressed in Kedusha, then it has to find Kalim, and those Kalim, if they're not in Kedusha, then Chalila could cause terrible tumor. Vein zerak al yidei mitzvahs elokiyos. K'moyisha yetzi l'poel zera ha'natul baris. If there was a tziruf nafsho kashi yetzi l'poel, the only way that the nefesh, the soul of a Jew, can find its way to be constructive The only way that it can, that can happen is through mitzvahs elokias. The kelim that a Jew needs are kelim that are godly, since the soul is godly. I was explaining this last night in the shir and last Shabbos that the point is not how spiritual you feel. And we spoke about that a lot last year. We're going to talk about it more. The point is that when you're doing a mitzvah, you're doing something that's godly. That's the point. When you're doing a mitzvah, that's a godly act. Maybe you don't feel like it, and you don't, you know, you're not closing your eyes, you're not rolling in the aisles. But when you're putting on tefillin, it's a godly thing. It's elokus. And therefore, that act of elokus, by virtue of what it is a wire, is a kli that will allow your koiches to come out elapoel, to be able to emerge in your life. Whether or not you feel that way, that's a separate issue. It's wonderful if one can. That's a different avaida. But in terms of the kelim, the mitzvahs are those kelim. The same way with the earth, with the tree, that the seed is planted in the ground. The dove is at siruf nashal kasha yetzus lepol. Ulekach, therefore, omruzal. Bechol mokum kasha ho yoreitz l'medarbal schar ha-mitzvahs. Therefore, we find a remarkable thing. That wherever Chazal referred to the reward for observing mitzvahs, omru, they said it in such a way, elu devar m'sha'odam oichel peiroseihem ba'olam hazeh. They referred to schar mitzvah, to the reward of a mitzvah, as the eating fruits. Va'keren kayemes lo'olam haba. Why? Mipnei sha'odam ayidei ha'mitzvahs. It's because the reason it's referred to as payers is the same idea that the person, as we learned last week, is Adam Eitz HaSod, the man is compared to the Eitz, to the tree of the field. And through Torah Mitzvahs, he's Moitzi the payers. And therefore the reward for living a life of what? Of Torah Mitzvahs is described in such a way as is described in such a way of Eichel Peirosehem. Peiris is the schar of a mitzvah, Peiris. And that's why the schar in the other world is called Gan Eden. Also Gan, also a garden. It's also a garden, right? It's interesting. It's also a place of what where Peiris are able to grow. That's the meaning of Gan Eden as well. Next page. Because it's an exalted soul from above, that and is the only way that it's able to be Yaitzel HaPoel. The same way that the tree is able to be Yaitzel HaPoel, by being in the earth. Until finally the Jew is able to acquire the highest level, Lias Dovig Bayisbarch, to be attached to Hashem Isbarch. Lias Dovig Bayisbarch, which is the Tachlis of our Avoida, Dveikus Basham. Look at 59. Kloimer, Kashe Yet Srufa Navshum and Hateva Chomris. When man has refined his life in such a way where his soul is no longer held back by physical matter, when man can finally achieve this cleaving to Hashem, this dveikus to Hashem. Let's understand. We were commanded not only to do the mitzvahs, but we've been instructed that we should perform the mitzvahs with zrizes. We should be excited. We should perform them quickly with alacrity. We should be enthusiastic about how we carry out the mitzvahs. Shneamar, as it says in pasuk, u'shmartim es ha-matzos. And Chazal learn out when it says to guard the matzos, meaning to be careful of the matzos. Al tikare es ha-matzos, ela es ha-mitzvahs. Kederach she'ein machmitzin es ha-matzos. The same way that if we allow too much time to go by, chalila, then what happens? It becomes chametz. The matzah becomes chametz, right? If you let the time go by and you let it sit idly, then the matzah will become chametz, it'll rise. So too, Chazal learned out that a hint in the pasuk, kach ein machmitzen es ha-mitzvah, mitzvah bol yodcha, al tachmitzena. Don't allow your mitzvahs to become chametzdik, which means that one has to try to do a mitzvah in bezrizes, quickly. to do the mitzvahs. That doesn't mean they shouldn't be done carefully, but that bechlal, one's avodah should be bezrizus, should be in a way of zrizus. So the question is, what is this hurrying when it comes to mitzvahs? And what does it mean? Because obviously, it's not just a nice additional thing. Many people think that to do it in such a way that a person should be bezrizus and should get the shul on time, or even a few minutes earlier, and he should do mitzvahs bezrizus. They say about Rav Nosson Breslov, when he used to walk in with another Jew into the mikveh, that by the time, he says that by the time that Jew finished taking off his clothing, Rav Nosson was already finished putting his clothing back on. He already went into the mikveh, he was already in the mikveh, did his tefillos, was out, and was already finishing up by the time this guy got off his clothing. So, does that mean that Rav Nosson Breslov didn't have Yeshiva Das? Chas v'shalom. The whole side of his personality was the Yeshiva Das. You see, the Zrizus in the mitzvah is not just what many people think is that it's like the hidden mitzvah. That there's a mitzvah, and it's really, really nice if you could do it the Zrizus. It's really nice. But that's not the pshat. Since we learn it out from the Gemara that says what? Mitzvah boli ochal tach mitzana, it means that a mitzvah that's not done bezrizis is this chametzdik. It becomes chametzdik. That's not a good thing, chametz. It's not a good thing. So it becomes chametzdik. It means that there is some sort of a t'nai, a condition, in the observance of a mitzvah that if you really understand what a mitzvah is, you wouldn't be able to do it in a way that's not with excitement and with bezrizis and with alacrity. You wouldn't be able to. So if a person is dull and sluggish when it comes to carrying out mitzvahs, when it comes to tefillah, when it comes to zavoida, when it comes to learning, it's not pshat that he is doing everything the right way. It's just that there's a chisaron. There is something in pnimius that's wrong. What does that mean? So he explains. Ubiyasham begurari. Maral explains. Why is this chometzdik? Why can't I just say that I have the mitzvah and I didn't do the mitzvah the best way possible? Why does it have to become chometzdik? I was talking about this also in the shiur last night. That what? Inyonim which are sichli, you see, this world is a world of time. The physical world is bound by time and by space. As the Vilna Gaon says, if you look in the Siddur of the Gra, when in Baruch Shamar, and the Lashon Yisrael is there, the Vilna Gaon explains that time is created in this world, and time is part of physical reality. Therefore, things of this world require time. Sure, it requires time. That's as far as this world is concerned. But in Yonim HaSichliyim, once you are detached from physical reality, so that means you are no longer bound by the constraints of time. Right? You're no longer held back by time. All of the writers and all of the television shows and movies about traveling in time, right? That was always, you know, like the most exciting thing. Like, you know, some idiot like in the 20th century ends up like by the French Revolution, like going backwards or going forwards. So you can't make a machine like that. Not only that, it's a tarat d'sasri. It's physical life itself and the complexity of physical life that makes time travel impossible. It makes it impossible. Time is meaningless only when physical life is meaningless. But in the physical world, time constrains us. Therefore, the Maral says, in yonim sichliyim, spiritual things, pulosim shalai bezman. There's an unbelievable Torah here that Rabbi Nachman has. We don't have time for now, but there's a Torah from Rabbi Nachman in Lakuta Maran about why is it that when a person dreams, during a dream, you cross over many, many years in a matter of, it seems to you when you're dreaming, like when you're sleeping, you think it's like, this is unbelievable, I'm going, this is taking years, this dream. And then you wake up and the whole thing was, you know, was 4 minutes or something, not even. And Rabbi Nachman talks about that. What's going on when you're dreaming? Why is that? Why is that the time is out of whack when you're dreaming? Why does it seem that way? And there's a ma'aseh from Abderov, Chamerdik ma'aseh. And there was a yid that, another tzaddik that went through a whole thing and was traveling and got shipwrecked and was a godless and he had to finally get back. And the whole thing really was just like 5 minutes. And then he met the Ayiv Yisrael afterwards. And it was only 5 minutes had passed. And there also the tzaddikim explained the inyan of time is something which the tzaddikim obviously are not constrained by time the same way that we are. That's why they were tzaddikim. They were able to be in the same place, in two places at the same time. It wasn't so long ago. who was it that was famous for that? The Minchas Elazar's grandfather. The Minchas Elazar's grandfather was a mafursim, that he was able to be, that they used to see him in one place sitting learning, and then like 100 miles away, he was reported talking to somebody, raising money for someone. He would be like in two, three places at the same time. There was a tzaddikim like that. That they didn't have, obviously you have to be a chassid to believe such a thing, right? Which is fine. So, but you believe that a malach, if you believe that a malach, you believe that a malach can do that, no? You don't believe that a malach can be in two places at the same time? A malach can be in two places at the same time. Because you're still thinking of somebody flying around with wings and stuff like that. A malach can be in two places at the same time. You mean tonight, Yiddish Kinder, when they go to sleep and they say, Mimini Michal Mismali Gavriel, so it's only in your house. It's not by everybody's house. It's Mimini Michal Mismali Gavriel, and it's true. Mimini Michal Mismali Gavriel. So, A chassid knows that a tzaddik can do the same thing. I believe 100% that any tzaddik can do that.
Pitzis derech is the same thing.
Badis has to do that. That's in this week's parasha. They need pitzis derech, right? For oval hayoyim el hayim, right? This week's parasha. They need pitzis derech. What's the shaila? 100%. So the Maharal is explaining that therefore those things that are in yonim sichliyah, that means spiritual matters, pilosim shaloi bisman, they don't take up time. The more spiritual something is, the less confined it is to physical reality. Because spiritual matters are not bound by the rules of time. And to the degree, in proportion to the chshiv is, the more chashiv this spiritual act is, the less zman it requires, the less it's connected to time. Therefore, for af mitzvahs elikim. Therefore, when it comes to mitzvahs, shehi dvar Hashem. Every mitzvah is what is a dvar Hashem mamish. Every mitzvah is a dvar Hashem mamish. Therefore, haboliyod chal tach mitzana. When you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah, if you're sluggish, if you're slow, if it doesn't happen, so it's not pshat that it wasn't done in the best way. It's a chisaron. It reveals a deeper chisaron, a deeper deficiency in your relationship and your understanding that you're in the presence of a moment that is spiritual. Because if it was truly something that connected to your neshama, then you would seek to break as much as you could to break out of the constraints of time. I was explaining this in the Shiur last Shabbos and last night, that this is the meaning of the rushing of Erev Shabbos. This is the meaning of the rushing of Erev Shabbos. Since Shabbos means Me'ein Olam Haba, Shabbos is that dechina of the world to come. And the world to come meaning it's something which transcends time and space. Therefore we understand that the hachanas for Shabbos, regardless of when Shabbos comes out, whether it's 4 o'clock or it's 8 o'clock, there's always going to be that unbelievable tumult Erev Shabbos. Because Erev Shabbos is the rushing towards something which is not contained in the world of time and space. And that's what the tzaddikim, how they explained the Gemara there that I mentioned last night also, by Lag Ba'omer, when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai came out with his son after the second time when he came out from the cave, and they saw that old man was running. It was almost Shabbos, it was Ben Hashmos, it was getting dark Friday, and he was running with the Hadassim, right? You remember? He's running the Hadassim, and Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Loza, they asked, what are those hadassim? Says the Kavod Shabbos. Why do you need two bunches? Shama v'zocha, right? The two bunches of hadassim. So the way that tzaddikim understood, why is he running? Why is it davka an old man? Why is it davka Friday before candlelight, that time of candlelighting? All of this is that crossing over between the 6 days of the week, which is purely physical, or physical, spiritual, but stuck in the physical. Spiritual that's stuck in the physical, that's the klal of the curse of the 6 days of the week, and the lamentes malachis, that's the 6 days. Shabbos is what? Kula Shabbos amenucha. Shabbos is me'en olam haba. Shabbos is the taste of the end, which is yom ha'din neshamah, it's the day of the neshama. Therefore, the crossing over between those two worlds That time of Erev Shabbos ben Hashmashos is unbelievable. That's why you see from Pirkei Avos, right? Those things that were created, Erev Shabbos ben Hashmashos, at the time of Bereishis, which I'm not going to go into right now, but it says in Perek. But the Indian of running, why was it an old man? Because old age means I'm in this world, but I'm almost out of the world, right? That's what old age. It means that he's not, you can't come into Shabbos embedded in this world. Therefore, it's Ahu Shabbos, an old man. And he's rushing towards Shabbos. Why is he rushing? So now we understand. The reason that he's running is because the same way that in time, listen carefully, in time, old age means I am running from one life to another life. In space, running is an effort that man is making that attempt somehow to break the barrier of time and of space. Running means I'm not stationary in this world. I'm moving towards something else. Therefore, Husaba, the old man was running into Shabbos. Why Tafkut Hadassah Bnei Sasa talks about, we're not going to go to now. That's a different Torah. Falag Baimi talks about that. But that's the Indian of of Erev Shabbos. Habol Yorch Al Tach Mitzana. Because if that's something, if you don't have that, if you don't approach a mitzvah that way, it's a chisorin in the mitzvah itself, in how you look at in how you approach a mitzvah. Ki dvar Hashem mutal of lasas b'lizman. Really, the dvar Hashem, which is spiritual, should be done, should be accomplished without time. The closest that a person can get to rising above time is rushing through time. But if you're sitting and schlepping, that means that this world, and that's the whole Indian of the first 10 people that come to the Beis HaKnesses, that come to Shul. And what that means to be the Rebbe, which the Maharal talks about in the Chiddush HaGod, this unbelievable thing, is all negated to this. Those people that come to Shul late, Keseder, and it's not a simple matter. Vim hu machmitz is a mitzvah. If a person is machmitz the mitzvah, meaning if the person allows the mitzvah to drag on, to sit, paigim is a mitzvah. It's a pgam in the mitzvah. It's an affront. It's an attack. That blemishes the mitzvah itself. It's as if you're saying, this is no different than playing handball. You know, I take my time, I guess, so I don't get to the court. So we're supposed to meet at 9 o'clock in the court, so I get to the court 9:30. Fakir. People are more medactic in these manim very often than, you know, it used to be. Those things when we were kids and we were growing up, and there was the, you know, you were afraid Shabbos, with the Zman, you're always looking at the watch. Why? Because you thought you're going to catch that first movie was 7:40 was the movie. And how am I going to get to Main Street, a Union Turnpike, and take a shower with all the cheshbainis? So right, and the digdukim that you should be able to get into the gates halmavis. And when you get to the gates halmavis, you should be able to have time to buy some nash, to buy a soda, and to find the seat, and all, so that you could be there when the first thing, and look all the dikdukim and the zmanim. But when it comes to shul, listen, you could always be mashlem, so you could say psukim v'zim, and how, you know, could all kinds of
people are mashlem and zmanim in general.
That's not something. That's Beshita. That's not something.
No.
It's not Chas V'Shalom. Fakir. The way I'm not talking about the ones who stop playing games. It's some guy that's sleeping till 10 o'clock. And but it's a deacon. We're talking about Rav Leib Leiger. Okay. If we're talking about Rav Leib Leiger, the answer is. No, there aren't so many. But the Hachanis.
The Hachonis.
It's a different sugya. That's a separate sugya. Rabbi Leib Leiger, that's why I mentioned his name. You know how he was an unbelievable moil. Rabbi Leib Leiger was a moil. So he used to, so when we were talking about Rabbi Leib Leiger last year, so Rabbi Leib Leiger, there were letters written against him. His mishpach all came to defend him. The Shevet Sofer, you know, he was mishpach with the Chassam Sofer. So he used to make a bris. It would be like. Everybody would like get ready in the morning, and Rabbi Leib Leiger was ready. It was like by Shkia, it was the sun was setting, and Rabbi Leib Leiger was the mole, and they always mechabed him. Not only that, they were mechabed him very often, as I mentioned in the shir, that the sandikars, he was sandik and mole. Try that one. So Not only that, what was the ma'aser? After 12 hours of hachanas in his room and tehillim and mamash malach Hashem that was on fire, that they were afraid to even look at his face, finally when he sat down for the bris and they would put the baby, and this is not so long ago that there weren't thousands of Edom that saw this, he put the baby on his lap to be sandik, right? He threw the talus like this over the whole thing, the whole mice, and nobody saw anything. The brachas, they said that it was keherifai. Mazel Tov, he took the talus off. It was finished. And no one knew what, how, where, what, anything. It was all done. Mazel Tov. There are people that saw that. So what's going on? 12 hours hachana. The mitzvah itself, al tach mitzvah. Like this. In a second. In a second.
When you're mukhan to do the mitzvah, that's
when. Right, that's when there's reasons. What the Baal Shem Tov and the Talmud Baal Shem Tov said is that to appreciate a mitzvah, that you should do a takir bezrizis. It requires a certain state of mind. It requires. Now again, there, you know, that's not an excuse for people to stama draying around, you know, walking like, you know, in the streets at 12:30, you know, looking for shul or something. But nowadays it's not only by the chassidim. Unfortunately, it's you see a lot of this. And this whole Indian that they have, these minyanim, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, it's not exactly something which is breeding, more business for alarm clocks, right? You understand? So I'm not saying that sometimes you need a person that needs a minyan here or there, but really, I've said this before, that I believe that there should be no minyan later than 8 o'clock anywhere. Because the whole atzlus and the laziness and that ability to just... I'm not talking about when a Jew has an emergency, but stamazoi, to create that kind of a lifestyle, that anytime I roll out of bed, I just walk in, I'll find a minion. I'll just, even the way that they're loshen, I'll find a minion. It's just not, it's not creating Jews that are living the way that our ancestors lived. It's just not. It creates a certain laziness and a certain lifestyle. I mean, that's my own opinion. I know that that's a little bit controversial, but Lemaisa, you know that our grandfathers, our great grandfathers, had no problem getting up 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, you say to an old timer that you have to be someplace at 5 o'clock in the morning. Ms. Bichlal wouldn't even. You tell that to a kid nowadays. 5 o'clock in the morning. You know. Yeah. Never saw the world at that time. I said, you know, you realize I'm gonna have to be. I'm gonna have to take off from yeshiva for 2 weeks. So I'll do it. I'll be off for 2 weeks from yeshiva if you make me do that. 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, it can't even be massing it. And it's part of that whole minion. And also the minion is down the block, and you roll out of the... You get these guys that he was already, like, you know, somehow he was in the mikveh, he already davened, then he just opens up his eyes. He was already in the mikveh, and he already davened, and now he opens his eyes. He doesn't even know it has to be so convenient, it has to be so simple. So the whole minion of Zerizis, Bechlal, has suffered terribly nowadays. And the appreciation for a mitzvah, what the Maharal is saying is so true. It's always, you will see this, the dike, look and see, that where there's rezus, where there's such a way of keeping mitzvahs, mitzvahs are precious, they're appreciated as being special. Where in a place where there's no rezus, it's a simon that the mitzvahs are not special. And those very same people, when it comes to things of this world, you'll see by them a lot of rezus. So what the Maharal is saying, here, let's look inside, in the note over there. So he says, Ulefid Dvarav Kan, we understand, according to what we're learning here in the morale, we understand this whole inin of zrizis of rushing. Shehin in this bar, it's understood. Shema Torah ha-mitzvahs kulan hi l'roi meim ulahal, this is all the mel me'evil l'tivai chomi. The whole purpose of all mitzvahs is to do what? To bring you to that point where you're able to finally climb out of the constraints of physical life, to bring out your koiches. That's the whole point of every mitzvah. To free you from the chains of physical life. That's what all mitzvahs are there for. Whether you feel it or you don't feel it. That's not the point. But that's what mitzvahs are there for. Ubor, it's clear. Shema Torizu Tia Bas Hasaga Kol Oid Shaha Mitzvah Atzma Tishor Viruch Niyusa. We understand. When are you going to achieve that? When are you going to accomplish that with the mitzvah? When the mitzvah remains in its pure state. And how do you allow the mitzvah to remain in its purest state? When you recognize what it is. Recognizing it for what it is, as a mitzvah means, it demands zrizis. You're not approaching it the way that you're approaching something physical. And that's why I'm glad you asked that, David, about the chassidim. That's dafka the inyan of hachana, to understand what the mitzvah is. You realize that a mitzvah contains in it this unbelievable koyach, to bring you out of something physical. And instead, you sit there and you're schlepping it out and you're late and it doesn't... Then what you're doing is you're poigim and the whole mitzvah becomes chametzdik. I mean, you're yoytze in halacha maybe, but you're just missing the point. If you realize what the mitzvah demands of you to rise above this world. The mitzvah is yelling at you to come to join her. And again, I know this sounds like I'm picking on something stupid, and I've said this in shul 100 times, and every time I do it, I'm sure the people get annoyed. But, I'm going to say it again. But, this whole Indian that I personally have this, I have a distaste, and I know some of you might probably use this because you don't have time, and I'm not saying that it's an aveira. But the whole thing, like, this whole thing, you know, it's almost Hanukkah, you know what I'm getting to. You buy this little case with the everything's prepared. Right? This year they came out with something where there's a yid inside. It comes with a yid. To light the menorah, you don't have to even light anymore. It comes with a little yid over there, wrapped up, you open the package, some guy comes out, and he makes the brachas for you. You can buy one that has a lift b'shahavar, a spadish. Yeah, especially, you have... So what? And Baruch Hashem, my father's Avdus Zunzain, still stands there. He won't use any of those things. He'll stand there with a cotton, and he's doing like this, and he puts a little oil in his hands. And you know something? You know something, so you could say, well, Mr. Weinberg is retired, so I'm not retired. My father did that all the years. Even my father used to get up at earlier than 5 in the morning, and he came home at 9 o'clock at night. And we would wait to light the menorah, and he did it slowly, and he had a niggun that he was makabel, and this is how you light the menorah. But nowadays, what are you talking about? And if it's going to be that it takes too long to crack off the top of the thing, then the person will be throw that one away. You know, go to the swarm store and say you gave me ones that it took me an extra second to crack off. You know, you held me back. You know, Amish held me back. So you understand that. So why is it now we Jews have never had as much time on their hands as they have now, and never before have we felt as if we have no time. It's a power. There's such a lachatz, and davke. When people were working 14, 15 hours, and they were like mishubadim in Mitzrayim, but when it came to a mitzvah, it was with mesikas, it was sweet, it was with the ne'imas. You see a tzaddik. I was zeichel, it was with a tzaddik. I used to go to him, and you know, like you're an American guy, you can go crazy because of how long things take when it comes to mitzvahs. Go spend a day or two with the Amshinov in Yerushalayim, And you know, or the Skelener, Havdalah by the Skelener, or the Chlal, by the Skelener Rebbe, who's you see, Mamish Sadi on the Skelener Rebbe from the old style of what once was. That you get by him, you get a picture of Kedusha Sabris, of Shemir Sabris, that by the Skelener Rebbe, even when he talks, it's very hard to bring him to an American island. People get very fidgety. So people get very nervous when they're there because he's saying to them, right? You've ever seen this squad? And then he'll say, and you thought he says the same thing another 10 times. And then and you're thinking, well, this rabbi never went to the class that I went to on public speaking. And he's not doing it. This is not how we do these things. It's supposed to be, you know, we keep up the pace and there's a certain thing, you're in, you're out. You know, fast food. And the tzaddik is, everything is with such messinus. In such a way, we probably don't understand what that means, but we do understand. You know when it comes to like a smorgasbord, when it comes to something of this world, then you say, "Hapnish," you know. Then you have to sit down. You have to take your time. But this is what's happening. It's fakir. So he says, when a mitzvah is done in a lazy way and it schleps out, meaning, not that I'm saying it takes long, but if you don't do it, you don't get to it, you don't get to the mitzvah. The mitzvah itself is being insulted. The mitzvah itself is suffering a chisarim in your hands. Because you are giving the appearance that this mitzvah is something which is
which is stuck in the physical world. Because if it wouldn't be in the physical world, if it would be that thing which is supposed to transport you beyond the physical world, it wouldn't be comfortable in the world of time. It's trying to break out of the time barrier, which means it's done bizrizis and vislavas. If you made the mitzvah itself into something which is physical, then how is it supposed to take you to someplace else? In other words, it's a very scary thing. But the moral, the site of the moral, what he's saying here is really, this is the moral in Gurari, but it's really based upon Rav Huttner's explanation. He doesn't quote it, but it's based upon Rav Huttner's explanation. If you understand what this means, that depending upon how you relate to the mitzvah, a human being has the ability somehow to diminish its effect, to diminish its power and its effect. It's like you're lowering the volume. You're still going to be yitzeh. Therefore, the indicator light is still on and the mitzvah works because you did it al pi halacha. As long as you did it al pi halacha, if you did it, it's not this man, it's nothing. But if you did it al pi halacha and you followed all the rules in the Shulchan Aruch, okay, then the indicator light goes on, you're yitzeh. But the volume is very shmach. Very, very schwach. And that therefore when it's a volume, it's like, you know, you hear a niggun, it can be the same niggun. But you know, there's a very big difference if like two people sitting at a table and they're singing a niggun, and if you're in an oilum and there's a thousand yidden and they're singing the niggun. It's the same niggun, but it takes you someplace else. The song that you're singing by yourself, you know, the volume is low. When you're sitting there with a thousand neshamas and you're singing, so then it just takes you someplace else. When you do a mitzvah in such a way, where that mitzvah itself becomes part of your day-to-day physical affairs, judging by how you relate to it in such a lethargic way, so mimela, it doesn't have that volume to carry you somewhere. But when a mitzvah is done, bezrizes, that means I am makir, I acknowledge, I recognize, and I treasure the fact that Hashem has given me a moment that's beyond the moment, that's above moments, that's above time. Therefore, because you've made that mitzvah itself tied down and chained to physical things, to time. And something, of course, if you yourself, the rule is that if you yourself are in prison, you can't free somebody else. You've got to be outside of prison to get someone else out. So every mitzvah is supposed to be taking us out of our prison of physical life. That's what the mitzvah is here for, to get you out of jail. The jail is the constraints of physical life. But that mitzvah, the mitzvah sitting inside jail, that's what I said before, you tell the mitzvah, come into the cell together with me. When you don't do the mitzvah with simcha and with zrizis, you're inviting the mitzvah into the prison cell. If the mitzvah is supposed to release you and free you from those constraints, the mitzvah's got to be outside the cell. And being outside the cell means being above time. And being above time means that you're excited, it means that you rush, it means that you do the mitzvah with zrizis. Therefore Hashem commanded us to perform the mitzvahs with zrizis. And that's why we left Mitzrayim in a hurry. The whole thing of Bechipaz. Why do we have to leave? So all the Mefarshim are talking about this. Why couldn't we leave Bereish Goli? Why couldn't we leave, like, you know, when you're really tough, you don't have to run, right? When you really, I remember that it was a very rough neighborhood when we grew up. So there were fights, kaseidim, and we used to all kinds of tzaras. So we used to see, like when we saw the rough chevra coming down the block, you know, the ones we were afraid of. So we used to cross the street, like, well, you know, the chickens used to start hurrying. It was scary because we used to have trouble with them. But there was this one guy, Finkelstein. He was unbelievable. And Finkelstein, he would just, you know, like he would just stroll down the street. And we used to rush ahead to try to get like to school, you know, like to get onto the bus. And this Finkelstein, he was a strong guy. And so I remember that Finkelstein, I almost told you in school, this guy Finkelstein, you know, they used to come over and say, you got a dime, that means we're going to mug you, right? Now maybe it's more, but they used to say, you got a dime? So I remember we were staying there with Finkelstein, and the guy comes to, there were five of them, chayes, big guys, they come to us, and we're shaking, and the guy goes, to Finkelstein, you got a dime? Finkelstein says, for two nickels. And I said, okay, all right. He was like a hero. And this guy never rushed. Finkelstein was never in a rush. You understand? If you, there's a chilek. that the Indian of Zrizis, when a person realizes, when he understands, look inside, he says, is that only when a person sees the mitzvah in such a way, he understands what a mitzvah is, then that mitzvah could bring him to this tziruf. The mitzvah will always work, but then it could bring him to this tziruf and to the zikuch, shehin dvar Hashem. Emer miyata. Ki avodas ha-mitzvah tzvicha lehe'asos mitoch sheha'odam misroimim al-madregas ha-mitzvah. The point is, when we do a mitzvah, we have to rise up to the occasion. When you go to shul, you don't make the shul, you don't make davening wait for you. If you think about it, it's a chutzpah shein kamaya. The davening is called for Shabbos morning at 8:30 or 9 o'clock, a chutzpah shein kamaya. That a person comes even a minute late. It's a chutzpah. I'm not saying, God forbid, something this goes wrong and a kid got crazy and you had to help her. I'm telling him everything is fine. And a guy is sitting in his kitchen, you know, like sipping a cup of coffee or something, Shabbos morning, and he's looking at his watch, and the shul is 10 minutes away, and he sees it is 10 to 9, and he's sipping his coffee. It's such a chutzpah. But it's not stam. Bechlal doesn't chap what a mitzvah is. So what he's saying here is that if you understand what a mitzvah is, you rise up to the mitzvah. Rising up to the mitzvah is, I meet you on your turf. You understand? I meet you in your world. Not that I sit there and I come to shul when I come to shul. I come to shul 9:12, 9:15, 9:30. I come to shul, and then what? And then davening meets me in shul. Shalom aleichem, baruch haba. Open your siddur. What kind of? That's why it's mitzvah b'liot al tachmit sen. It's a chometzdik mitzvah. It's not pshat, of course. Of course, you have to daven. So you shouldn't daven. But this person doesn't realize he is telling the mitzvah to join him in jail instead of him joining the mitzvah in what in Olam Haba in Gan Eden. He brings the mitzvah into his miserable little cell. He's forcing a mitzvah into the world of time. And the mitzvah is not innately from the world of time. The mitzvah is from a different world. So he's forcing the mitzvah to enter into that miserable confinement of what? A physical life. And God forbid it shouldn't be the opposite of making the mitzvah wait. Shamitzvah turad al madregas adam. Because then the mitzvah is dragged down to the man's level, to physical life. The mitzvah is dragged into the physical world. This is such a yisoid in Avodas Hashem, to understand what it means to be a Jew. And this is what those who are zeichet to see by the tzaddikim, the avoid of the tzaddikim, the zrizus of the tzaddikim, in all their avoid, and everything that they did, the hislavus and the zrizus, the appreciation for a mitzvah, that's the midah of a tzaddik. Let's just do one more set. L'chein on top. Don't ask a kasha. Why is it that when I do this mitzvah, I put on tzitzis? The tzitzis is going to make me reach a level of shleimus because I wear these strings or something? Does that have to do with my being perfect, ideal person? Because the tzitzis. Shavad ein ze kasha. It's not a kasha. You can ask a kasha that from this seed will come out a tree. Can be. From this little thing is going to be a tree. What does it mean? And how could that be? You can ask a kasha, how come this is an orange tree? Why is this a maple tree? What do you mean? It has to do with, there's a certain reaction that takes place, that when you put this type of seed in that type of soil, that's what you get. Same thing, when a Jew does a mitzvah, it means, when tzitzis are planted inside of a Jew, and he is a bar mitzvah, especially, right? He's chayav mitzvahs. When it's planted inside, that's what happens. That's what it does. That's what happens. That's what we're going to talk about. Maybe a little bit the union of the union of the yisib bechlal. It's a very big sugya. The union of the mata of Aaron, Parshas Korach, that was growing, that was blossoming, right? Almonds. And bechlal to talk about the union of mitzvahs and growth, and trees, and so on. We'll talk more about it when we do that maimer from the Rashad. Raki dovezem is chayv lefiha etzem hagarin. This is the seed, and the seed is mechayiv, obligates it to be a maple tree. You can ask Akasha, why didn't it come out to be a banana? This is what the garin, this is what the seed contains within it in potential. And the earth draws that out from the seed. Kach mischayv lefinapsa shehi elakis milamala. Same thing. When you take a Yiddish neshama and you plant it into a body, and in that and that and that person engages in this mitzvah, that mitzvah, shehu bal hashlemus kashu oisim mitzvah seichel zel. Va'akol lefimasha noisna haseichel shehi ha'adam apol mitzad sheyesh lenefesh elakis. So masha goyz v'nyono v'zehu tziruf nafsha. This is the ability of tziruf nefesh, means to bring your soul to its potential, to draw your soul into your life. Since the tzura of a human being is what? 248 limbs. And there are 365 days that correspond to the 365 mitzvahs lo say negative commandments. Therefore, there are 248, we're coming back to what we said in the earlier program, that there are 248 positive commandments, because this is the shleimus of the human being who contains these 248 organs. 365 negative commandments, that he should hold on to that holiness, that kedusha of who he is, and should not betray himself, which corresponds to that world of the 365 days, which is time. That he should not go away from the seder in which he was created. So Mitzvah Shem, next week, the end of the parak goes very quickly. You should be able to finish the parak, and then the following week, we'll be able to learn, it'll probably take 2 weeks to learn Mitzvah Shem a Maimer.